The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes past 12 midday. Thursday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. Man in Line's in session. If you listened yesterday, Laurie Hooper and Paul Weatherall from Liberal Fannin, the political party, were talking about their green credentials and how they see the green future. And finally, they kind of winkled out a number. 804,000 tonnes is our carbon footprint every year. 800 metric tonnes, of course. Not the old 2,240 pounds, but metric tonnes. So now we have a target. They're talking about 40-odd percent by 2030 or 2035, reducing our carbon footprint by then. So now we know at least what we're aiming for. But if you have any thoughts on that, lots of calls and lots of emails in yesterday. And if you want to add anything to that, there'll be more of those in the future as we just seek to bottom out. Just get as much information as possible on the table so we can see where we stand. And the green future isn't just renewable energy or the transition to a resilient energy future, whether it's the gas off Mackled or geothermal, wind power, whatever it's going to be, more public transport to stop us driving vehicles or electric vehicles or a different way that we do agriculture on the Isle of Man. However it is, if you've got any thoughts on the matter, please get in touch. Please, though, may I just beg your indulgence on one thing? Please don't send me links to 25-page articles from from a professor that nobody's ever heard of. I'd like your original thoughts on the matter. Oh, children from low-income families are going to get food vouchers to help avoid holiday hunger this Easter. Tim Wills, back the move. The Easter holiday food voucher scheme 2022 will offer assistance to 2,100 children and young people who qualify for free school meals. In the coming days, parents and carers will get two weekly vouchers that can be spent at ShopRite before the end of the two-week break. For eligible families, the combined value is going to be £23.50 for a primary age pupil and £29.50 for those at secondary school or UCIOM. It's obviously important. The vouchers are going to go through the post and can be used to buy groceries. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture is stressing they can't be used to buy alcohol, lottery tickets, tobacco, or be exchanged for cash. So, and I think often it's worth pointing that out to many people on the Isle of Man. £23.50 is a lot of money. To many people, it's five cups of coffee. But to many people, £23.50 or £29.50 is an awful lot of money. And the difference between eating and not eating. We need to just get that message out there. Many people will be struggling as the cost of living rises in the near future. Ramsay Bakery closes 3 weeks on Saturday. No more. 50 years gone. Ramsay Bakery will continue with its plans to close at the end of this month. They faced a perfect storm of issues, according to the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister, who met Ramsay Bakery yesterday. Claire Barber, MHK, says the government's job now is to help other companies get into the bakery sector.
From my perspective now, we will be looking at how we could potentially support if other businesses want to grow maybe some element of their market, and working with DfE officers and obviously the minister in that regard, to look to support businesses should they wish to expand in one area or another, or if someone else wants to come along and look at bakery as an area they might be looking to get into, but also acknowledging that it's a very challenging market at the minute because of the input costs.
Speaking of the future operations, whatever that holds at the end of the month, what sort of ideas have maybe been discussed in terms of who or what could be able to run such a substantial operation in future?
So certainly, I would acknowledge that that's a private sector businesses, we would work with them, but essentially that they would need to to be willing and looking at what they would like to do. So, you know, from DEFA's perspective, it's not for me to dictate to any members of the, you know, commercial community on the island as to what they must do. I want to look at how we can support businesses and those elements that we can provide support for, but acknowledging that some of the elements around input costs are out of our control, either within DEFA or on the island even.
And finally, what happens next in the short term regarding these discussions?
So at the minute, obviously the directors will carry out their functions within Ramsay Bakery, and I know that they've put a short statement out late yesterday evening, I think, just confirming where they will be focusing their priorities next. From our perspective, that will be very much around looking to support other businesses should they wish to explore going into other sectors of the bakery market, and also looking, as I say, at those people who both supply to Ramsay Bakery at present and those who are supplied by, and looking at where we can support and where that falls under the remit of either DEFA or DfE.
That, it appears, is that regarding Ramsay Bakery. 3 weeks on Saturday, no more. No more. That's Claire Barber, the Minister for Environment, Food and Agriculture. Well, we'll see what happens in the future. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Danny. Just for the future, and a little stimulant to our government, or a big stimulant, or maybe a cattle prod, really, is now we know the UK are looking at nuclear and offshore wind power. Now is the time. We know the target figure. You had it yesterday from a couple of people who were talking to yourself. What are we going to do as an island? Should we be looking to prioritise a second link to the UK, a second power cable to the UK, or throwing it towards Ireland to make us more resistant? And what are we doing? I don't know whether I didn't listen to you all yesterday because I was doing a few things. Sorry about that. But is the $42 million in the bank ready to go to invest in something we're going to hang our hat on? And what do we want to hang our hat on before we have another scenario like Ramsay Bakery?
Well, we'll hopefully be getting the members of that committee on Man in Line just to see, because it will be interesting to know whether the, and you obviously have got experience of this, sometimes an amount that government mentions can be made up of different sources, shall we say, some of which already exist. So is the 42 million new 42 Roof million end. Or is it recycled 42 million?
Well, that's it, or a promise, or something that's going to be asked to be put on the population. We need to know that, and we need to know what's happening with this organisation that's called the property thing. You know, it's got the nurses' home.
Oh, the Development Corporation.
Yeah, what's their remit? What are their challenges? We've got the likes of what's in the government portfolio, which we own at the end of the day. We've got the prison site. We've got the Lord Street, which is seems to be digging in a ditch. Some land site. We've got the Park Road School. And there's maybe other bits and pieces that are lying out there that we own. What are we doing to push these things forward and encouraging people to come across here and invest in us as the population and a community?
Well, there's never been a better time to reset than what we've just come through, David.
Well, yes, I believe that. But leadership comes from the top, and we elect them to lead. And at the minute, I'm not seeing any leadership coming in. And especially having an emergency meeting of Timbald to put vouchers together. I'm not saying it should have happened, but it should have happened a few months ago. Don't they realise Easter's coming? And then we have the scenario where a couple of things, I haven't confirmed it, but a couple of people were sleeping in the street. You know, we need to sort that out, and our food banks need to be run into some proper organisation to see how we can prop those people up into a roof over their head, some active work, and be contributors to the community.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, David. Right, we appreciate that.
Bye.
All right, thanks. Here's Bonzo with us live on Man in Line. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello. Hi there. Yes, returning to a couple of the points that David was just talking about on renewables and offshore wind and such, and indeed some things which I didn't just have time to put in yesterday, because obviously you were you know, running out of time a bit. When it comes to offshore wind, one of the great things about offshore wind, well, first off, is of course that the new UK energy strategy now really wants to go for broke for offshore wind, and it's looking to have 50 gigawatts of offshore wind. Now, in order to do that, they really need our waters and 4 gigawatts of offshore wind in our waters, because there isn't really enough shallow water for them to put these things in. Otherwise, you're then talking about floating wind farms and stuff, and that's a lot more complicated. So that gives us a way in to the contracts for difference regime, which you know, I've been talking about, which then allows those developers to build wind farms here, offshore wind farms, and, of course, pay us lots of money for the leasing of the seabed.
Where's the shallow where's the shallow seabed around the Isle of Man that's best for a wind farm, Bonzo?
Well, places like Crocker, but I mean, in general, besides the the Beaufort Trench, the thing
off Jerby, yes.
No, off Jerby. Yeah. Besides there, it's all it is all relatively speaking shallow. You're talking sort of less than 300 feet, I think.
But this is the place, Bonzo.
In many places, you're talking less than 100 feet.
Sure, but this is the place that often World War II ordnance washes up from.
Well, there's a lot of World War ordnance and World War II ordnance in the North Sea. That hasn't exactly stopped that. And indeed, in the North Sea, they have even shallower pieces. What was the sort of pre-Ice Age bit that connected mainland Europe to the UK, which is now Doggerland. I mean, some bits of that, then you're sort of 20, 30 feet below sea level. So, you know, those are great places to put offshore wind things. But the main thing, as I say, is the seabed leasing payments. Now, the area of seabed leasing, the area of seabed that is just adjacent to the one which Crocker are looking at, and also which Ørsted, the wind farm people who have the Wally wind farm, have a lease agreement on. The one next door was auctioned off by the Crown Estates, and that site got £100 million a year for 10 years as a leasing agreement. Now, if we had that, were able to get that kind of money, which is, you know, which surely I think is practicable for our wind farm, offshore wind farm sites, and there are four places where they could be developed. If we could get that sort of, if we could get that sort of money, we could really sort out doing things like the transfer to a green future, a green environment.
And would we have to cede any sovereignty, Bonzo?
No. No, that's the thing, because the seabed is ours, so it's ours for us to sell, essentially.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that, Bonzo. Thanks. The conversation continues. Thanks, Bonzo.
Indeed. Thanks. Bye.
I appreciate that. Yes, certainly, just north of where Kroger is looking to put their gas exploration. The Ramsey Bay, it is relatively shallow. In fact, it was Bahama Bank, just off Ramsey, where Radio Caroline used to be anchored, and that was a shallow anchorage, almost a protected anchorage. So, that, and talking of which, maybe I'll see you tonight at Arbury Church. There's a Radio Caroline lecture. How do I know? I'm giving it tonight in aid of the Quilliam Foundation, so maybe I'll see you there. Lots of comment on the green stuff and other things as well. I want to also come to the promenade fairly shortly. Mr. TP dropped us a note in from Onken, who just said, those Rolls-Royce mini reactors, the nuclear reactors, the Rolls-Royce website's got them on. We've talked about those in the past on Man in Line. He says the government should invite Rolls-Royce over for a seminar. They may look expensive, $2 billion I think they are, but in the long term, very good value for money, and we are the end user as well. Of course, Rolls is the best you can get. Built in the UK, spare parts in sterling, clean air, engineers not so far away, says TP. Even if you can get gas from the UK, it probably comes from a foreign country, and then we're back to the same situation that we are in now. Well, whether it's nuclear, whether it's renewables, whatever it is, we're obviously moving in that way, and it's going to cost us money. Where the money comes from is another matter. Nice to know, but what's the percentage of the world output that we contribute, says Des? That 804,000 tonnes our carbon footprint on an annual basis. Minuscule. It is, I think, the UK's contribution is 1%. So we're a fraction of 1%. But we are part of the world community. Neil said, look, normal working class families can't afford to eat, let alone buy an electric vehicle. Is it a class thing? Yes, again. That's been thrown around many times, hasn't it? That it's all very well for well-heeled middle-class people to say, I'm buying an electric vehicle or I'm buying a hybrid. Lots of people are running the same old banger they've been driving around in for 10 years. So what will happen? Laurie Hooper talked about this yesterday. He did mention subsidies and loans and payback. Again, this is something the government's got to get their head round and sell it. And Laurie Hooper, I think, made a good point yesterday. And he said that he thinks the government's missing a trick. They should sell the whole green thing as a cheaper way of living. If you can have solar panels or an air pump that the government will pay for, or maybe you borrow and pay them back. If you can do that and can cut your costs, surely that's a good thing. Let's have a look. A note in just said, if you collect the running costs for the buses from the rate, surely you would have free bus fares, says Tony. We were talking, Devon Watson was talking about free public transport. You want to get people out of cars, you want to reduce your carbon footprint, stop pollution, get people out of cars, put them on buses. If you make it free, well, I'm very sad for Ramsay Bakery, says Nicola. Very sad. I've always enjoyed the bread and the BAPS as well. With this in mind, I'm glad to hear that the farmers aren't getting another handout. The farmers are land and machinery and equipment rich. Perhaps the farmers should sell land. I'm fed up of taxpayers giving the farmers money for owning land. It's absolutely bonkers. Handing out money to employers, less employers' tax, help the employers who keep paying into the government pot to keep the people in work, not grass in fields, says Nicola. Well, the agricultural community, the farming community, has always pointed out that they're the custodians of the land and they also look after the land. So perhaps it's not just watching grass grow. They do look after the land and our land is kept in fine order. But that's the point. That's the point that there is a financial mechanism whereby farmers do get subsidies. Douglas Promenade. The businesses on Douglas Promenade are going to get a support scheme. Those businesses on the promenade impacted by the ongoing roadworks. Well, that support scheme is closing. But the Enterprise Minister says businesses that haven't can still register for it before June. Now, Dr. Allenson is the Business Minister, and he said his department's invested over £720,000 since the start of the project. He said it was introduced to help businesses who were suffering from a loss of income at the height of the works when the prom was shut.
The prom has now been signed off. The Department for Infrastructure are going through the snagging process, and there's obviously ongoing works going on. This is a loan scheme, a 0% loan scheme, that was brought in to help businesses who were suffering from loss of income during the height of the works when the prom was shut. It's not an indefinite scheme. It's going to finish on the 1st of June to new applicants. What we're doing is looking at those businesses that have taken up the offer of it. We're also extending the scheme to those businesses who may have started during the works, because obviously the prom regeneration has gone on for longer than we thought. So we're making sure that everyone who needs that extra support gets it. And we're also looking at the repayments, to stage them over a longer period so that people can actually work with their cash flow a lot better.
How many businesses relied on the scheme?
We had in total, apart from lots of promotion, we had 15 eligible applications and committed over £720,000 to businesses along the prom. And they are still able to apply. And as I said, we've widened the criteria now. But it's important as we close down the scheme to actually look at those businesses to continue that support as we go into the future so that they can start getting back on their feet they can start using the extra facilities that the Prom Regeneration has provided, but also look at the ways that they repay these loans over a much more flexible period.
And what was the feedback from these businesses that y'all have supported?
They found the ability to take out loans very useful, both in terms of investment in their own facilities, but also in terms of evening out the cash flow during what's been a very volatile period. This started off with the Prom Regeneration, then we had COVID on top of that, and certainly that guarantee of loans, particularly interest-free loans, and the flexible repayment scheme has allowed a lot of people to actually plan for the future.
Any idea if those businesses are still struggling?
The hospitality and tourism business as a whole is still going through a period of flux. We're getting some very good feedback that people are seeing more customers now, are seeing increased bookings. There's more consumer confidence about, both on and off the island.
Businesses have felt like they've had to close during the latest roadworks because of the disruption. Is it really now the right time to remove it, or should it be after the work has been completely finished?
The scheme is drawing to a close in June, so people who are suffering problems still have the ability to apply for the scheme.
That's it, £720,000, 15 eligible applications, says Dr. Allenson. And the promenade signed off. Did you hear that? It's been signed off now. They're just snagging. The prom's finished, Howard. Did you get that?
Yes. No comment. I'll take the fifth on that one. As they say, they're already digging holes in it, I believe. I tried to avoid it. Well, just listening to Mr. Allenson, and he's saying, and it's in your news thing, £720,000, £750,000. Has that been added into the cost of the rebuilding of the promenade, or is that a separate fund? Is it a separate entity?
I would imagine it's a separate entity, because most of them are loans.
Yeah, yeah, but it still has to be found from somewhere. And say, by the time they've finished, they're going to be, well, the thick end of £1 million. And some of these firms, if it's anything like the UK, where they've taken these loans, they disappear, go bankrupt, or just close down or whatever, and say they can't afford to pay it back. So that funding should have been part and parcel of the promenade reconstruction funds, because it is part and parcel of it. It's because of the disruption, and I know one chap who's told that he doesn't qualify for it, and he's been running the business on the promenade for quite a few years. I'm sorry, but we might do a little bit later on. But having said that they talk in millions now, like it's like a couple of quid, and there's no problem at all. But I was just curious whether that was part and parcel of the total overall funding for the promenade reconstruction. But the other thing there, as I've just read on your news, the highway boards, well, DOIs they call themselves these days, have just got up off their desks and brought out a new charter for how to look after the roads and how to do the weeding and how to do the hedges, and this is to cover all the local government. Well, the man in the street could tell them how to do that. It's just get out there and get the work done. They've just written another book on what to do and what not to do, and they will ignore it anyway. They'll just move the pieces around until it fits what they want.
I was quite taken, Howard, with a bit on there that says maintain the road markings and make sure.
Well, I've just come from Castletown, and there's still nothing done, and we've had a period of fine weather that they could have done quite a lot with it. I know I've seen them once, the men out working, and they were painting the little bicycles in the green lane on Peel Road, outside where they're going to allegedly do away with the cycle lane, outside the new KFC and Starbucks, etc. They're supposed to be doing away with the cycle lane. I hope that was an April Fool, because that's the day it came out. But looking at the McDonald's are further along, that there then is more or less now a permanent parking lot on Peel Road to allow the drive-through into McDonald's.
I also hope, I mean, it would be nice, though, you know, those temporary kind of plastic bollards they put up outside McDonald's to stop people yep. turning the wrong way? They're absolutely filthy. They've been there years, haven't they?
Exactly. I was following behind the Douglas Corporation road sweeper yesterday, and he was going along on the opposite side to McDonald's. But as you mentioned, those are fairly horrendous, plus the fact all the debris that has been washed down in the various storms that we had are all still lying there alongside them. You know, so you got a nice clean roadside, a gutter, etc., and the rest of the road is, well, it's like Beirut on a bad day. But this charter that they brought out now is only an exercise, a pen-pushing exercise. It's not going to get anything done, because, as you were just saying, the road markings, and I heard a chap was the other day remarked that the box section on the top of Railway Station Hill,
yeah,
gone. The markings all down at the ferry bridge, right the way down, all the way through to the blackboards, even the blackboards themselves. Now, what would happen if there's an accident there? What's the legality of it? Because there used to be a box section in the centre of that corner on the blackboards that give you guidance as to how and when. But now, there's nothing. And as I say, they've had at least a week where the sun was shining to do a bit of road marking, and I've not seen a living soul out with their paint pot and brush. But they used to have a wagon, or even two wagons, with the pots on the back that were heated. And that would bring the paint up to a temperature where they could lay it. But have they sold all them? Have they all gone? Because every week or every month you see an auction on the websites, one of Crystal's auctions, and there's always DOI vehicles of it. So have they sold all their vehicles?
Well, we'll see. And you can guarantee one thing. It's not the boys on the road who aren't wanting to do the job. There's somebody making a decision higher up not to prioritise it.
Exactly. And I thought we were going to see a change when Tim Krukor came in. But it's blatantly obvious that he has been told what he can do and what he can't do. And he's the man that we elected. Not the civil servants. We didn't elect them. They are career people. Tim Krukor is the man that should go in there and say, right, I want this done, I want that done. Now get up our backsides and do it.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate that.
Take care.
Thanks for calling today. I'm sure Tim Krukor appreciates it as well. Just a couple of things before we got loads and loads of comments coming in today, so I'll get to those in a moment. But I just want to quickly remind you, tomorrow it's the final small talk on The Breakfast Show. And it's the children from St Mary's School on this morning describing a crab. Now, tomorrow, the final edition of Small Talk on The Breakfast Show is the pupils of Skull Valor Geelt. And on Monday, they're doing a big prize draw, £2,000 worth of technology from Walton's, 65-inch colour TV, a soundbar, as opposed to a black and white TV, I know, a soundbar, a fridge freezer, and a washing machine, £2,000 worth. So all correct entries are in the draw. Your final chance to go into the draw tomorrow with Ben and Sean on The Breakfast Show and Skull Valor Geelt and Holmes and Davidson's Opticians as well tomorrow morning. Oh, and just before we get to those messages, it's Thursday, so your Lent lunch today, penultimate Lent lunch at Cool Methodist Chapel. They're on today and next Thursday, the 14th, on the edge of the Isle of Man Business Park on the Cool Road. Homemade soup, bread, cheese, pudding, tea or coffee for £7. Proceeds going to the Tear Fund, Lent Appeal and Motivate Addiction Services. You want to nip along there till 1:30 today. They'd love to see you. And there's lots of illustrative material to tell you all about the charities, about Tear Fund and also about Motivate Addiction Services. And no doubt they'll be selling Christmas cards as well. I always get my Christmas cards from the Cool Lent Lunch. I'll be along there possibly later today.
Mom, Dad, there's no hot water again.
Having trouble with hot water and heating? Energy prices are rocketing, and there's never been a more important time to make sure your heating system is in tip-top condition. Home Warm by Energy Management Systems is the simple way to spread the cost for essential maintenance, starting from just $7.99 per month. For peace of mind and money-saving advice, call EMS on 613 210 or find us on Facebook. Home Warm by EMS. Become our priority.
Calling all island employers. Time is running out to file your returns and avoid a fine. Let us help and leave you to do what you do best. Run your business. Nicola Bowker & Co. Accountants and Tax Advisors.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery cartons, including the new 1.75-litre carton, are now 100% recyclable, made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
Manx Radio and Tell Skips have got together for a spring winning weekend. This weekend, there'll be a photo on our Facebook page along with an anagram. If you can work out the name of a flower from the clues, text it with your name to 166177. Then be listening to Manx Radio Breakfast on Monday to see if you have won a £200 voucher to spend in 1886 Bar and Grill. And if you need a skip to spring clean your home or garden, just search Tells Limited or call 677137. The spring winning weekend with Tells Skips and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The playoff semi-finals await for FC Isle of Man, and they'll be aiming to move one step closer to promotion this weekend. The Ravens face Withenshaw Amateurs at the Bowl this Saturday, knowing victory would take them to that all-important playoff final in just over a week's time. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Withenshaw Amateurs from 6:30pm on Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary of this huge game on our AM 1368 and digital platforms.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. 21 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Oh, by the way, the Farmer's Market's on. It's Thursday, so it's the Farmer's Market at St John's Church Hall until 3. Loads of local produce available. Lots of Manx honey as well. It's a good place to get it. The problem with the Isle of Man, says this texter 723, is we're engaged in reactive politics. We don't engage in a proper vision to be more sustainable, greener, and more progressive. Now, the news announced today, the government is going to, we're an obstacle to wave-generated energy. Every day another idea is sat on and squashed. Every day investors come to the Isle of Man to develop ideas that would generate a bigger purse, and we just treat them with disdain. By the way, a texter in from 258 who's cold at the moment. I'm sitting under the duvet with my dog. The living room is 14 degrees. Messages in, the lady called Nicola who's talking about farmers getting payments and what have you. Lots of reaction to that. Not terribly complimentary. Oh, and also a note in from Des just said, Bonzo calls in about windmills, but how much do they cost? They cost a lot of money. How many years does it take just to recoup the cost without making any profit? Well, you can say the same about the power station, Des. That costs a lot of money, and that's still being paid for. Lots of farmers have to rent land from private landowners, says Joe. Lots of farmers don't own the land on which they're on. And I'm tired of the government dragging their heels. This is Rob on 352. We need that gas off Mackold. Onshore or offshore, wind, farms, tidal power. I'm as Manx as the hills, but I'm embarrassed about the condition of the Isle of Man. The roads are terrible. Unmaintained gardens, all this wild weed stuff, road lines not being painted and fedding. I think it's the Isle of Cheap and Nasty at the moment. The MHKs have got good pay, good pensions. It seems they don't really give a damn about the Isle of Man, for that matter, says Rob. Get lots of correspondence like this about the Isle of Man looks a bit tatty at the moment. Look around Douglas. Look around the airport. Look at the fact that it simply doesn't look prim and proper. And the Isle of Man used to look prim and proper. It was well painted. It was well maintained. The roads were like billiard tables. It's not like that anymore. Following on from the FOI about who got what in Timbald, do we get figures on what farmers get in terms of support monies, says Andy? Not as a matter of course, I don't think. And also, just regarding a message in from, this is 758, who said the government owns the meat plant, by the way. And all with all this COVID around, there's no way people are going to use stuffy, crowded buses. So perhaps public transport isn't the option this moment. I don't. How much COVID do you think there is around at the moment? The DHSC said they're expecting a spike in COVID over the next few weeks. Oh, and Dave said perhaps that lady should do some research to see how much farmers don't get. I'm tired of listening to people with conspiracy theories about farmers. Don't forget, if farmers start selling up and getting out of farming, we'll be up the creek. And I don't mean the pub in Peel. The minister, says this correspondent, referred to the unfinished promise as snagging problems. It's still a building site today with unfinished work. No rails to the sea terminal. Well, they won't be there for a while, John. But there's certainly those points by Castlemona Avenue look nothing like finished, do they? I mean, sometimes they don't even look like they've even been started. I think it's time the government made a law that all new planning applications have to be fitted with solar panels and heat pumps, therefore banning gas or oil boilers in new builds. Make it the law from the end of 2022, says Lawrence. Well, the government can do it. They can introduce laws. That's what being independent's all about. And says this correspondent, what about the bottom of Broadway? It's a disgrace. What's it going to be like for TT when all that happens? Tim Crookall says Dave isn't being told what to do by civil servants. Okay, this is incorrect, says Dave. Tim Crookall isn't being told what to do by civil servants. Well, Tim's been on before, and he's a man who likes to put it this way. Tim Crookall has opinions, and he's a very forceful politician. And, of course, Mr. Crookall has been forced. He took the hand. He's picking up what happened before. But remember what happened to Mr. Baker and Mr. Harmer before. This goes back a long way. So Tim Crookall really is, if you like, clearing up. He has the shovel, and he's clearing up what's happening on the promenade. It'll be nice when it's finished. I'm sure we'll get used to it. Do you remember what Tim Baker said? We'll learn to love the roundels. Here's a note in that just says a high proportion of the population of the Isle of Man is elderly. So Mr. Hooper needs to think again if he expects these people to be spending money on green heating initiatives with a view to be making savings over the next 20 years. Thank you, G. It's a bit morbid, but we understand the point. In 2001, India started building roads that are held together using polymer glues made from shredded plastic wastes. Now, these plastic roads have been developed. There are no potholes, no cracks after 20 years of use. They're cheaper to build. Perhaps the Isle of Man should look at plastic roads.
£15,000 discount?
Yep.
I can buy a new Maxus electric van at Outdoor Power and Plant with up to £15,000 discount?
Yes, I keep telling you.
That really is taking the savings to the Maxus.
Get it? Flipping heck. Up to £15,000 discount on a new Maxus at Outdoor Power and Plant. They've great deals on conventional diesel vans too. So head down to Snugborough Trading Estate or phone 611 341 for details.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands. Or you could switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 35%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
The Crossroads Manx Workshop helps islanders with disabilities and health conditions, providing paid employment, making a range of high quality products. From benches and shelves to cabinets and tables. Our team also work on custom projects, such as engraving and company seals. Pop into our workshop in Douglas.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
Visit crossroadsiom.org.
Join Ben and Sian each weekday morning on Manx Radio's Breakfast Show to play along with Small Talk.
Yay!
Be listening from 8:30 for your chance to win an incredible tech bundle worth over £2,000 from Waltons.
What are we talking about this week?
If you can guess, just text your answer to 166177. And if it's right, you'll be in the draw to win.
Manx Radio Small Talk, every weekday morning on The Breakfast Show.
With Holmes and Davison's Opticians and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
The Chill Out Show from Manx Radio, Sunday evenings between 7 and 9. A great way to kick back, relax and wind down from your weekend or your work end.
Manx Radio. Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
Sundays from 7 till 9.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, 12 minutes before 1. Loads of correspondence in. And this is Christine, who just said, ordnance is an issue for any offshore seabed activity. We're talking about putting wind farms, offshore wind farms, in shallow water, perhaps northwest by the Beaufort Trench, where there's lots of unexploded World War II ordnance. When a gas pipeline was laid in the 1980s across the Norwegian Trench, mines rose to the surface, thought to have been laid by the Germans in World War II, but they were found to have been laid by the British in World War I as a German submarine defence. The contractors with the Navy, the British Navy, were innovative and had to stop until they could send out lifeboats when the pipeline laying resumed. And they shot with rifles the mines that popped up. Like a fairground, isn't it? I also thought, did the Alaman give any offshore rights up a while ago? I've not heard about that, but willing to be corrected, Christine. But shallow, where's the shallowest water around the Alaman? Is it the northeast? Is it around Ramsey from the Point of Ayre down to Mackall, that big... look at the road signs, all green and covered with algae. Some of those road signs haven't been cleaned in decades. I walk, this is a text of 563, I walk from Peel to White Strand with my dog. If I have spare bin bags, I could have filled them up with the car rubbish. We need to put a tax on cars for dumping litter to Peel. What is it with some people? Well, lots of the... And we keep periodically talking about Douglas Head. Lots of people come and eat fast food on Douglas Head. And in the morning, come to the radio station, there's litter absolutely everywhere. Some that people just throw out of their car windows, but others, because the bins are full. And there are lots of gulls up and down here around Marine Drive, so the gulls get to the litter and out it comes. And we can't really prosecute the gulls, can we? More texts in regarding this. Windmills have got a 25-year lifespan. The power could outlive everybody living now, says Des. Here's a message in that just says, we brought 25,000 more population here and we are poorer, but I think we've lost Manx heritage, culture and attractions. The Manx, I think, are in the minority, including in our own government. The countryside's being concreted, the heritage is being destroyed without a care. No wonder no one pays to come here, says this correspondent. We're allowing ourselves to become a suburb of the UK and we'll be prisoners of the UK if we can't sustain our own meat, milk and bread, says this correspondent on 622. There was a point, though, 622, when the 1960 census came out, when the population went down to £48,000. It was a financial disaster for the Isle of Man. So repopulating the Isle of Man is often talked about by government. They often talk about economic activity and the fact that we do have a predominantly older population, not always economically active, and everything has to be paid for. So it's a circle that has to be squared by government. This is a message in from Ali, who said, you were talking about a spike in COVID transmission recently. Manx Care, this is expecting a spike in COVID transmission later this month. Community spread is currently falling, they say. There's one of these weekly assessments that come out. I think it's coming out today, but community spread is currently falling. The number of patients in hospital has remained steady. Now, the chief exec of Manx Care, Teresa Cope, and the finance director, Jackie Lawless, gave an update at the meeting recently. But Stephen's with us, first of all. Hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I wonder, could I make a comment, please, on an issue that I've been concerned over for a long time, and it was articulated very well in this week's Isle of Man Examiner by Alistair Ramsey, a former communications officer within the Isle of Man government, which highlighted the unusual long amounts or long briefings held by many departments of government, where the public have no ability to know what is being said and what is not being said. And what was even more alarming, when a Freedom of Information request was put forward to know what goes on, what's said, it was denied by the president of Tynwald. Now, I find that very, very worrying, and I would hope that if we have anybody interested in democracy within Tynwald, then there is urgent steps taken to resolve this situation so that we do know what is said and what has not been said, or at the very least, they are televised, because what the article referred to was that this is unique to the Isle of Man. No other democratic system of governments use this way of really circumventing Parliament. It's all done in the very best of reasons, but it does circumvent the democratic process. And what alarmed me even more was when the Freedom of Information request was refused. And of course, you've got no appeal to the Information Commissioner when the President of Tynwald makes that decision. So I'm very, very concerned about this, Andy, and I would hope that it's brought to the fore and discussed in more detail of how this is getting allowed to be developed.
Well, when somebody like Alistair Ramsey brings that point, it's very valid, as you say, because he knows of what he speaks.
Absolutely, Andy. And I think that when somebody who has been on the inside and possibly knows where some of the bodies are buried starts blowing the whistle and saying this is not good for democracy, then we've got to start sitting up and taking notice, and not just taking notice, but taking steps to ensure that the president does not have the final word to decide what is available for the public and what isn't. After all, we're not talking about making decisions of sending tanks up to Derby to quell the natives or further afield. We're just talking about the governance of our internal affairs, and they do affect a lot of people. And it's taken a long time to get to the situation we are now, where we've got a lot more ability to know what's going on via the Freedom of Information notices that we can apply for. And in some cases, the Freedom of Information officer has said that you're not giving enough information, such as over the COVID support grants that were given. They instructed the Department of Enterprise to release the information. And if we need to use the FOI commissioner to get information like that, it's very concerning that the president of Tynwald, who is only a presiding officer, remember, that's all he is. He's only a presiding officer. He's not the king of the Isle of Man. All he is the presiding officer to ensure that the guidance and the procedures of Parliament are complied with.
Okay.
In my opinion, he has gone over his remit.
Okay, all right, Stephen, we appreciate that. Thanks for raising that point. Maybe we'll get Alistair on the show. That's it for Man in Line. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Back tomorrow with another open line on Manx Radio.
WINT.